Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. It might just be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. As our announcer said, our show is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we indeed do it all without any manipulation. That means we have nothing for you to join, and we have nothing that we're asking from you. We don't need money. We're not here to raise money. We're only here simply for one reason, and that is to discuss the truth of the Word of God in an intelligent, non-emotional sort of way, so that if you're interested in listening, and I pray that you might be, then maybe you could hear something this day that would challenge you to believe some truth about the Word of God. Yes, it's a Christian show, but maybe unlike any Christian show you've ever listened to before. The name of our show is The Flotline, F-L-O-T, and that's a military acronym for the Forward Line of Troops. The whole concept behind this radio show is you deploying the Word of God in the forward compartments of your soul so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress. We've said it before, adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. And the Christian life is a life free of stress. It's a wonderful way of living. It's a life free of worry. It's a life free of guilt. It's a life free of anger and agitation. It's a way to live called a relaxed mental attitude. It's deploying the problem-solving devices of the Word of God in the forward compartments of your soul so that whatever you face in your life, God indeed has an answer for that. And we're going to discuss that. We have written a book called Christian Problem Solving, and it's free. You may feel free to write for that. At the end of the show, the announcer will give the address, and we'll be glad to send it to you as quickly as possible if you'd like to have it. But today, we have a special guest on our show. I've been telling you over and over and over again as you've listened to me, those few of you that have been listening to me, why it's important that you have a qualified pastor teacher. This is probably the most important thing that you could ever hear me say to you, other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the number one issue in your life. But once you have been born again spiritually, once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new spiritual species. That means you have a spiritual life. And once you're born again spiritually, once you believe in Jesus Christ, then you must grow up spiritually. Just like we have to grow up physically by eating food, we grow up spiritually by eating the Word of God, by devouring the Word of God. Jeremiah said, I found your Word and I ate it. I devoured it. I metabolized it. This is the source of my strength. This is the source of my growth. And it is the Word of God that you metabolize, that you deploy into the forward compartment of your soul that gives you spiritual energy and spiritual growth. And because of that, I have taken the privilege to invite today one of my wonderful friends, Pastor Joe Griffin. I want to introduce you to Joe Griffin today, tell you a little bit about his background, where he's from, and we're going to ask him some questions. So, Joe, welcome to the Flotline.
Rick, it is a pleasure to be here.
How do you like being back in Birmingham in University of Alabama country?
I love it. This is God's country.
That's right. And by the way, Joe is a graduate from the University of Alabama, so we can't talk about Auburn too much because he gets red in the face when you talk about that. But he is the pastor of Grace Doctrine Church in St. Louis, Missouri. And if you should desire to write to Joe or contact Joe, it's very easy to get in touch with him. You may not have a pen, but if you do, you could simply write to Joe Griffin, and that's P.O. Box 6432. P.O. Box 6432 in Chesterfield, Missouri. Not St. Louis, but Chesterfield. Is that a suburb?
It is. There are many suburbs of St. Louis. This one's about 25 miles west of the city.
All right. So Chesterfield, Missouri, and the zip code for Chesterfield is 63006.
Correct.
And Joe, you're from Troy, Alabama. This is where you grew up. This is where Pap had you, down in Troy, Alabama.
Actually, I'm from L.A., Lower Alabama.
Lower. Okay. And your daddy had a business down there, tire business?
He was in the Uniroyal dealership, and yeah. I worked there as a child for $1 an hour for the first 40 hours. And then after that, I worked for nothing for the next 20. And that was my payback for food, clothing, and shelter. At least that was the quote.
And it was in Troy, Alabama, that you met your hometown sweetheart, Joe Henra, and
yes.
You married her on 17 January 1965.
We had our 40th anniversary last year.
You're an old geezer.
I am a geezer. I will be an official geezer in July when I turn 65.
Holy cow, you'll get some kind of AARP or...
I don't know what that is. Is that a disease? I expect to get that pretty soon.
Now, Joe has two sons, Shane and Schaefer, and one beautiful daughter, Shannon, and a son-in-law, Chris, with a great-grandson, Ryan.
That's right.
What?
And a great and a granddaughter.
You have a granddaughter.
Granddaughter named Andy.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Now, Joe, when you went to Troy High School, you eventually went to Troy University. Then you transferred over to University of Alabama and majored in broadcasting and in communication, and you minored in journalism.
Right. I majored in broadcast communications, and my first job was at Channel 12 down in Montgomery.
Is
worked
that
there
right?
for a while, yeah.
All right. And then you, that was WSFA?
Yes, it was.
TV, okay. And you did the sports and all that sort of stuff down there. What did you do?
A little bit of that, but I was a producer-director. That was my primary duty. Mm-hmm. I was behind the scenes doing the program.
But then you went to Troy and developed the TV program at Troy for Troy State University. Did you do
they
that?
They wanted to get into television, and I was on the ground floor of developing the television studios in Troy. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get away from that for a minute, and let me go into something a little more complicated. In 1971, something happened that changed your life.
Yes, it did.
Now, I want you to enlighten us a little bit about this before we begin to get into your ministry and what you do. First of all, when did you become a believer in Jesus Christ?
Well, I have no idea. You see, my parents, I was in the cradle role of the First Baptist Church of Troy, as was my father, as was my grandfather. And you're evangelized in a Baptist church every Sunday. So I heard the gospel every Sunday, and I could not tell you as a child which Sunday it was I believed in Christ.
You just know that.
I assume I was around 10 years old.
You accepted Christ when you were very young.
Yeah.
And I heard about God when I was 11. My mother shipped me off to French Camp Academy in French Camp, Mississippi, but I didn't get saved till I was 22, so you got a head start on me.
I didn't do it. Yes, probably not, though. You got the head start on me. I was saved, but I knew nothing until I was 30.
Well, what happened in 1971 that redirected the course of your life?
Well, someone asked me, I was on staff at Troy State, and someone asked me if I would assist them, it was a student, asked if I would assist him and others in putting together a crusade for the Troy State campus, bringing an evangelist in, Wales Goble was his name. I don't know if
he's still functions. From Birmingham here. He has a great minister here in the Birmingham area.
Well, our goal was to get Wales down to evangelize a group of people that we would try to solicit into the gymnasium down there. And I was involved in that, obviously, on the publicity side to advertise it. And he even developed a radio network for it.
And that was 1971.
Yeah, and the thing is that the guy that helped us organize this used to work with the Billy Graham Association, and he came to meet with us to see what staff he had to work with, and he told us later that he realized that the thing would not fly because his staff was made up of a group of spiritual idiots, so that we had to do a little growing in grace before we could function.
So here you were. You were a believer in Jesus Christ. You were involved in a local church. You were about to put on a crusade and bring in a high-profile evangelist.
Yes.
And you had no idea what the spiritual life was all about.
We had no spiritual life. We were ignorant of how to have a spiritual life.
Well, tell us what happened.
Well,
how did that challenge you to grow spiritually? Did that change the destiny of your life?
Well, what changed the destiny of my life was the coordinator realizing that we needed some spiritual growth in order to function as spiritual leaders. Simply asked the question, I'll be down every 2 weeks from Birmingham to see how you're progressing in your varied assignments. And then while here, why don't we have a Bible study? So we were all deacons in the First Baptist Church. What are we going to say? No. So we said, oh, sure, let's have a Bible study.
We love Bible study.
We love to do that all the time.
So when he began to teach the Bible study, did you begin to recognize that this was information that you had never heard, or it was information you had heard but never quite heard it put that way before?
I'm certain that I may have heard it. I'd never concentrated on it. You go to church every Sunday in the South, whether you want to or not. So I was there. I don't think I was concentrating. I was not filled with the Spirit, so probably it was all one ear, in one ear and out the other. But the way it was presented, and it was the book of James, by the way, which has ruined a lot of people's lives.
Okay.
It was the book of James. It was taught in such a fashion it captured and riveted our attention. And from that moment on, I was locked into the study of the Word of God. And that was in the early days, or latter days, I should say, of 1971.
So, much like myself, you and I as well, and probably a lot of people listening, decided that there was a lot of information we didn't know, and we needed, if we were going to be serious about this thing called the Christian life, we needed to access that information, learn it, and the only way to learn it was to get under a qualified teacher that was teaching it.
Exactly. The Bible will come alive if you find out what it is teaching. And the way to do that is to find a teacher who is qualified to do this under the power of the Holy Spirit. And we were privileged to have that person at that moment.
Now, you're a pastor now, and you have been for 20-plus years in the St. Louis area.
Yes.
The problem that I run into a lot of times, and I'm sure people on our radio show can identify with that, is folks say, I don't really need a pastor. I just read the Bible through once or twice a year, and I get a lot. And will that work? Can a person grow spiritually just reading the Bible through?
I would never suggest a person not read the Bible, but you cannot grow rapidly by doing that, and you cannot grow with a consistency doing that. And the reason is that the Bible is a collection of 66 books over two testaments by quite a number of different authors under the ministry of the Holy Spirit in different time periods. The Bible has to be interpreted in the time in which it was written, and it needs to be evaluated by a pastor from the original languages and then converted into the language of his congregation. You can go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, and see at that point where the Jews are coming out of their diaspora over to Chaldea. They've come back to the city of Jerusalem, and they want to be taught afresh the Word of God, but they've lost the Hebrew language. And so they only speak Aramaic, maybe some fractured Chaldean, but they could not read the Scriptures on their own. So they had to have Ezra and some members of the Levitical priesthood teach them. And in that passage, parash is the word for taking the Word of God out of its original language and then communicating to them in the one that they understood. That's what a pastor's job is. Get it out of the Hebrew into the English. Get it out of the Koine Greek into the English.
So you mean
so they can grow in grace.
The Bible today, as we have the Bible today, let's just take, for example, the standard King James Version of the Bible. If a person takes that and reads that, as I've taught on the radio show and as you so well know, there are certain passages that are not going to be translated correctly or they may be in error. Is that what you're saying? So if you go to the original language, then what's going to happen?
What's going to happen is that you begin to extract from the Scripture what the original author intended to say. The pastor's job is to determine from his research, from the language, what the writer said and what those who heard it read or communicated to them understood. There's only one way that a passage can be properly interpreted. Unfortunately, passages are interpreted in many ways. All of them may be wrong, but only one can be right. And it's the pastor's job to determine what's right.
By going to the original language and digging in. So
yes.
when you realized that you had the gift of being a pastor, this is a spiritual gift, and this is taught in Ephesians chapter 4. Once you realized that, I mean, how did that happen? How did you realize, gee whiz, I've got this gift? And what kind of demands did it make on your life?
Well, when we were successful in this crusade and had begun this Bible study I mentioned, I became very interested in studying the Word. And in so doing, I was around people who also were interested. Before I knew it, I was being asked to teach people. Sunday school, church training, this Troy-Salem Baptist Association asked me to be a substitute pastor. Students at Troy State University asked me to teach them a Bible study on a weekly basis. I became involved with Campus Crusade for Christ down there. And suddenly I'm teaching on an average of four Bible classes a week.
And still working full-time.
And still working full-time in the studio. So the thing that dawned on me finally after about 3 years of doing that is that I am being asked to teach. I didn't ask anybody if I could. They asked me. And the people I was communicating to were growing in grace. So the Holy Spirit was using my ability to communicate, to teach people doctrine, and they were having a spiritual life as a result of it.
And what did this demand of you? I mean, if you're teaching four Bible classes a week, this is one of the things that I'm well aware of, and you are too, is we are not allowed to misrepresent the justice of God. And when we misrepresent either God's power, God's plan, or God's purpose, we're getting ourselves in a big jam.
Yes, sir.
So here you are, you're having to teach the Word of God four times a week. What kind of demands did this make on you so that you accurately taught it?
Well, what I had was a pretty good library at the time, even though it was very small. But I had discovered where I could locate correctly analyzed information from the Scripture. In other words, from pastors that exegeted the Word. And by exegesis, I mean going to the grammar of the Old and New Testament languages and developing a corrected or expanded translation from these languages. And I had books well done by others that I was able to do research in. That's how I got started, is depending on those who knew the language and had developed the translations and thus the doctrines that emerged from them. And because of that information, I was able to acquire that and communicate it to others.
So did you find one person in particular that helped you, or are you just kind of out on your own?
Well, there was one in particular, a pastor that I thought did a better job than any of the others because he was so meticulous in his analysis of Scripture. I was so captivated by his ability in the languages, which was absolutely phenomenal, that I was ultimately motivated to go and study under him, did so for 8 years, under the principle that God uses prepared men. If ever I get prepared, then God will use me.
So you up and moved to this individual's church. Was it in Alabama?
No, it was out in Texas.
So you moved out to Texas.
Pulled up stakes in South Alabama and moved to South Texas. And my wife went with me. And
oh, she didn't leave you at that point.
Well, she probably should have, but she didn't. She's been with me for 41 years now.
And you were there 8 years, and you were sitting under this man's ministry, and you were preparing. I assume you had to have a job.
Yes, I had many jobs during that time.
Trying to make a living.
It was very hard to do.
And eventually, the Lord opened the door for you to be a pastor. Tell us how that happened.
Well, as I mentioned, you're preparing, you're learning your doctrines, you're learning your theology, you're learning your hermeneutics, you're trying your best to grasp the entire system the Word of God has for you. And it takes time to do that as a pastor. You have to learn the entire theology that God has put together in the Word. And at some point, when He thinks you're ready, He'll offer you an opportunity. My first one was down in Montgomery. That didn't work out for whatever the reasons. I was called to Sioux